You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to pursue sound doctrine, to discern truth and error, and to become faithful disciples of Christ, because life and truth matter. For more information, to order resources or donate, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. Now, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. On the last broadcast, I was talking about the fact that the prayer of Jesus, the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray, is not a prayer mantra. It is a prayer manner. It's a means by which we can step out of the shallow tide pool of our own hearts and plunge into the unbounded ocean of uncreated energy. It's a means by which we may transcend surface things and experience union with God, the very thing that we were created for. The prayer of Jesus, or the Lord's Prayer, provides the doorway into an ever-deepening experience with God. And going deep involves, well, it actually involves making a major paradigm shift, a paradigm shift in our perception of prayer. Rather than finding techniques through which we can get God to meet our perceived needs, the Lord's Prayer is a means by which we may attain a level of intimacy that we may perhaps never before have even imagined. The Bible, it never encourages us to stamp out the self like the Buddhists do. It does, however, exhort us to stamp out selfishness. Genuine prayer, it's not found in our noisy askings and gettings. It is experiencing intimacy with the lover of our souls. Submersion into what I was talking about before as the divine nature. And our precious Lord provided the archetypal entryway for doing that very thing. Many years ago, I mentioned a prayer on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. I wrote about it in some of my books. It was the way in which Dr. Adolf Severe talked about prayer, the way he prayed, and what he said about the Lord's Prayer. And that became so memorable, so impactful for me, that I actually took the time to memorize it. His words about the Lord's Prayer are poignant and profound. He said it is the model prayer, and as such, commends itself to the most superficial glance, approves itself at once to the conscience of man. It's beautiful and symmetrical, like the most finished work of art. The words are plain and unadorned, and yet majestic and so transparent and appropriate that once fixed in the memory, no other expressions ever mix themselves up with them. The very thought of substituting other words never even enters the mind. Grave and solemn are the petitions, and yet the serenity and tranquil confidence, the peace and joy that they breathe, prove attractive to every heart. the prayer is short, so it can be quickly learned, easily remembered, and frequently used. But it contains all things pertaining to life and godliness. In its simplicity, it seems adapted purposely for the weakness of the inexperienced and ignorant. And yet none can say that he is familiar with the heights and the depths that it reveals, with the treasures of wisdom it contains. It is calm. It is suited to the even tenor of our daily life. And yet, in times of trouble and conflict, the church has felt its value and power. More especially, the church has discovered anew that it anticipates every difficulty and danger, that it solves every problem, and that it comforts the disciples of Christ in every tribulation of the world. It's the beloved and revered friend of our childhood. It grows with our growth, a never-failing counselor and companion amid all the changing scenes of life. And as in our lifetime, we must confess ourselves to be only learning the high and deep lessons of these petitions, so it will take eternity to give them their answer. While the prayer Jesus taught his disciples to pray is frequently the entryway into prayer, it is not the only way. Another way to organize your prayer time is around what I call the FACTS prayer guide, FACTS. You might imagine, if you've followed my ministry for a number of years, that this is an acronym, but it's a very useful acronym. I use it every single day. It is so helpful to me. So I start every single day, before I even get out of bed, praying the Lord's Prayer. I have to amend that remark a little bit in saying that I seek to start every single day with the Lord's Prayer. And most mornings, I do that very thing. It becomes an entryway into what I'm talking about now, this FACTS prayer guide. It becomes a way to replace merely snorkeling in the surface waters of prayer. It provides a means by which you can dive deep beneath the tumult and turbulence of the ocean surface to a place that is silent and serene. A place in which your harried requests may give way to the quiet of union with the lover of your soul. Deep. Deep is where you can step out of the shallow tide pool of your own heart into the boundless heart of God, the boundless ocean of His power and presence. It is where you can go beyond surface things and plunge into a profound experience with your Creator. To be honest, I have to confess I learned to pray backward. I rushed into God's presence with a laundry list of prayer requests and then rushed back into my frenzied lifestyle. Quite frankly, I treated my Lord with even more impatience than I oftentimes treat treasured loved ones. In short, I was in desperate need of a paradigm shift in my manner of prayer. I needed to make prayer a priority and to realize that prayer is a power source without which I would soon go dark. And thereafter, I desperately needed a secret place, a place where I could withdraw from the invasive sounds of the world and tune into the sounds of another dimension. When we come back from the break, I want to talk about just that, how you can find your quiet place. And then we're going to talk about what I mean by the FACTS acronym and how this can become a way for you to stay centered in your prayer life, to pray in a way that is most meaningful. As we go to break, once again, I want to thank all of you who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. You're truly making a difference for time and for eternity. We'll be back in just a moment. Please don't touch that dial.
Christian unity is not optional. Francis Chan writes, "The world currently hates Christians, often not because we resemble Jesus, but because we don't. We are arrogant, and there is a serious disconnect between our beliefs and actions. Scripture teaches us that our influence on the world is directly tied to the unity we display. Francis Chan wrote Until Unity because Christian unity is not optional. May God inspire spirit-filled people from all denominations to fight for unity in Christ around the essentials with humility, gentleness, and love. To receive your copy of Until Unity by Francis Chan, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will be back with more right after this.
Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. Yet an encounter with Christians in the underground Church of China left Hanegraaff contemplating his Christian experience. They were experiencing something beyond truth. They were experiencing life. Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, union with God. Prepare to move past intellectually knowing about God to experientially knowing God in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.
Our Lord prayed that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me. Christian unity is not optional. To receive your copy of Until Unity by Francis Chan, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org.
Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. As we went to break, I was talking about how important it is to make prayer a priority. I was also talking about how all of us desperately need a secret place, a place where we can withdraw from the invasive sounds of the world and then tune in to the sounds of another dimension. And of course, our Lord provided the ultimate example. The Bible tells us that Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. He longed to be alone with his Father in secret. And that raises an obvious question. Do you have a secret place? Do you have a place where you can drown out the static of the world and then hear the voice of your Heavenly Father? If not, consider finding one. It's not difficult. Mine is walking. But the issue is not location, it is motivation. We are all unique creatures of God, and therefore, your secret place is likely going to be different from my secret place. The point I'm making is that we desperately need a place away from the frenetic static of this world so that we can tune in to the sounds of another place and then hear another voice. Well, once you have found your secret place, and there's no need to be rigid, you're then poised to begin your experience with God. And that by focusing in on the first letter of the acronym FACTS, a letter which will serve to remind you of the word faith. And this, for me, is a wonderful entryway into prayer. So I'm going to talk about faith right now, but the actual acronym is Faith, Adoration, Confession, Thanksgiving, and then Supplication. Now there's an order to those words, but once you become really familiar with those words, with those prompts, as it were, you don't necessarily have to do them in order. But as I said, there is a logic to them. I think it's important to start with the F in the acronym FACTS, which represents faith, because this is the essence of demonstrating that your faith is not in your own resources, but rather in God. So here's how I typically begin my prayer of faith. Oh, Lord Jesus, oh, Lord Jesus, oh, Lord Jesus. Once again, this morning, I want to place my entire trust in you. My faith is not in my own resources. My faith is in you. There is no place safer than in your loving arms. I thank you, dear Lord, that you are always there as my refuge in the midst of life's storms. Now, I don't memorize these words, and nor do I begin each morning with the exact same phrases. I do, however, begin each day afresh with an expression of my faith in the one to whom I am praying. This is my constant daily reminder that faith is only as good as the object in whom it is placed. Faith is ultimately rooted and grounded in the nature of God Himself, and nothing is more crucial than a proper perception of who God is. Think about it. In Christian theology, God is portrayed as the sovereign of the universe. He is described as spirit. He's perfectly wise, self-sufficient. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. The Bible depicts him as the one who sees all and knows all from all eternity, the one who wields supreme and absolute authority. And thus, in biblical vernacular, faith is a channel of living trust. It's an assurance which stretches from you as a human being to the one who knit you together in your mother's womb. It is the object of faith that renders faith faithful. And of course, the greatest demonstration of faith is trusting God even when we do not understand. It's the sort of confidence that was exemplified by Job as he persevered in the midst of affliction, trusting God despite the whirlwind that threatened to blow his life into oblivion. Emotionally, he was on a roller coaster. I've been there as well. His mind was desperate for answers, and yet in the end he personified extreme faith by staking his fate, his fortune, on the trustworthiness of God. His eternal perspective is forever enshrined in the words, "Though he slay me, yet will I have faith in him? Will I hope in him? Will I trust him?" Faith is likewise demonstrated in the life of the Apostle Paul. St. Paul, who not only fought the good fight, but finished the race and kept the faith, his faith. His faith, like that of Job, was fixed not on temporary circumstances, but on the trustworthiness of his Creator. Faith Hall of Fame and in chapter 11 of Hebrews is filled with people who had faith in God even when they did not understand. Those who, like Gideon and Barak, like Samson and Jephthah, David, Samuel, the prophets, they conquered kingdoms through faith. They were tortured, jeered, flogged. They were chained. They were put in prison. They were stoned and put to death. They were destitute, persecuted, mistreated. And yet, says St. Paul, they were commended for their faith because their eyes of faith were fixed not on temporary circumstances, but on God. The faith that serves to protect us in the midst of life's storms is not to be confused with mere knowledge. Millions know that the biblical worldview corresponds to reality. They acknowledge that it has served as the backbone of Western civilization, and yet they do not trust in what they know and acknowledge. Thus, they do not experience transformation. You know, a person with pneumonia can know about penicillin. They can even agree that penicillin has saved millions, but until they take it, they demonstrate that they do not genuinely have faith in it. And that's what I'm talking about with respect to faith. Faith is more than mere knowledge. It's more than agreement. It involves living trust, not faith in your own faith, but dependence on the lover of your soul. Nowhere is that kind of faith in God expressed more beautifully than in the 139th Psalm. Psalm 138 in the Orthodox Old Testament. It ever reminds you that God has every detail of your life under control. Even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. I cannot tell you how often during dark times the words of this psalm flow through my mind like the balm of Gilead. We'll talk about that and more as we continue talking about the power of prayer. Prayer is transformative. And what I want to give you is not a prayer mantra, but a prayer manner. A prayer manner that you can use through the entirety of your life. Thanks again for tuning in and for standing shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Before we sign off today, here's our contact information. By phone, dial 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274. On the internet, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina. The zip code is 28271. Our prayer is that today's broadcast has equipped you to better defend your faith and encouraged you to pursue sound doctrine and godly living. Thank you for listening. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is essentially two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, union with God in Christ. Simply put, the map is not the territory, the menu is not the meal. We cheat ourselves of authentic union with Christ when we elevate the message above the Messiah. Truth Matters, Life Matters More is a modern classic and the magnum opus of one of the great theological minds of our time. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift in support of the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute. That's 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.